Blog Talk Radio.
He got over it.
Welcome to your life coaching edition of CCTI Unit 4. As we are going forth with the apostle, you did take some assessments last week, and the totals of those assessments come with explanation. And that explanation we will go over this evening. We are preparing ourselves as an army so that we are rooted and grounded in the Word of God, so that we're able to bring order into this chaotic world, so that we are able to stand on undefiable and undeniable truths that have expanded the generations. And so as we look at some of the things that we tend to use to make our decisions and to color our actions and to give us the reaction to different things, we want to make sure that they are in line with the Word of God. One of the scriptures is, "Deliver thou me from secret faults, and let not presumptuous sin have dominion over me. Then the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart might be acceptable in the sight of God." So there are some things that are in our hearts, some things that we don't even know about, that we are calling upon the Lord to bring them up, to examine us, so that Holy Spirit can give us the direction in our correction. And so we will give the remainder of our session into the hands of our apostle, Dr. Shawnette.
Thank you, Overseer, and welcome to this aspect of CCTI. We are excited to be able to share with you on this evening, and actually extremely excited about what you all will share. I just want to kind of bridge the gap for some of you who are asking the question, how does this fit with coaching, crisis intervention, first responders, and things of that nature? And my prayer is that as we respond to individuals in their place of crisis, that our response would always be founded and rooted out of the Word of God. There are so many really great answers that we can give, and those answers are great. But it is only the Word of God, it is only the truth that is in the Word of God that will heal and deliver us and set us free. John 8 says, "The truth will set us free," or actually it says, "The truth will make us free." And so I always want us to keep that in our mind, in our thinking, because unless we know the truth, then we won't understand how the truth actually frees us. And we also will get a lot of great insight. We'll get a lot of unique, sayings or advice to govern our life by, but it won't be the truth that makes us free. And so some people they're not free. They operate in a liberty, but liberty is not freedom. And so as John 8:32 tells us, that then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. I pray that this process that we're going to look at for the next 2 weeks helps us to know the truth so that we can be set free by the truth, so that as we share with other individuals, as we are in the process of making our curriculum for Christ, in the midst of a crisis, we will begin to allow the Holy Spirit to release in us truths that are applicable for the varying scenarios. So one of the things that we asked you all to do was to, one, take the test, text us your results. Furthermore, we asked you to turn in the date saved as well as the date where, when and where he became Lord. And we gave you some other information. You have the responsibility of obtaining the put-ons and the put-offs. And so prayerfully, you all have all of that so that we can get started this evening. I believe I asked this particular class to begin to look at some emotional wheels. So let's not forget any of those things because they definitely are great tools that we will use as we are moving forward. So let's start here because this can take us a while. Who all is on the phone? If we could just do a quick roll call, because that way I will only address the categories for the people that are on the phone.
Pastor DeLoach.
Pastor DeLoach, who else?
Minister Loretta. Brenda.
Minister Brenda, go on.
Katie.
Evangelist Katie.
Loretta.
Sister Loretta.
Evangelist Nita.
So, Evangelist Anita. Okay, well, let's get started. Thank you. So, one of the first tests that you all had the privilege of doing, well, first let's do this as we're looking at it. How was it taking the test?
I was nervous.
Somebody said they were a little nervous. Anybody else? Did anybody have any thoughts about it? Did the questions seem strange or things that you hadn't just really ever given thought to?
Oh, this is Pastor DeLoach about. So,
go on, Pastor.
Okay. It is the questions, when you were reading the questions, for me, it kind of put me in a part of, like, well, yeah, kind of, sort of, how do I answer that? Because it was like, I kind of feel that way, but I don't kind of feel that way. So it made me kind of really sit and go, how do you really feel? How did this really affect you? I don't know if that makes sense, but it made me really stop and think, you know, because I was feeling like when you answer, and I'm like, oh, I'm not sure what to give that number. Should I? So, but as I kept listening and dwelling on it, like, okay, how do you really feel? And it was like Shakespeare, to thy own self be true. I don't know if that makes sense.
Okay, absolutely. Let me ask everybody, did anybody give themselves a 5 to 7? Did anybody respond from a 5 to 7? 5 was seldom and 7 was never. And just if you're giving yourself answers between a 5 to 7 in those categories, as we go through these, I want us to begin to look at, because a 5 to 7 simply says that 90% of the time, this isn't even an issue. I am not prone to feeling that way, thinking that way. It indicates not only am I not prone to, but it doesn't necessarily give space for the I felt that way. Now, what happened was I acknowledged that I feel that way. I just happen to know truth, or I happen to know how to redirect or to immediately apply scripture or whatever principles you have. So for those of you who gave yourself anywhere between the 5 to 7, I want you to just begin to look at those 5 to 7. I'm sorry. Oh, so for your questions, if you scored yourself anywhere from 5 to 7, 5 being seldom, 6 being very seldom, 7 being never. So let's go over rejection. Rejection reminds us, or as we took the rejection test, approval addict says, I must be approved by certain people or by others to feel good about myself. In other words, how people view me or feel about me has an impact on me. It can make my day or break my day. Their thought about me, their concept of me, their perception of me actually it influences. There are some people, may not be everybody, but there are some people that how they feel about me influences me. And as a result, I am the possibility of determining how I feel, my is skewed by that. There are certain people that, you know, depending on how they feel about me, will impact how I feel about myself, my self-worth. My self-worth sometimes is the factors to determine how I feel about myself has something to do with my performance and other people's opinion about my performance. So I want us to begin to, I think it's John the 13th chapter that says, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. And so when we begin to look at that, that love for one another doesn't cause us to fear or become fearful about how other people respond to us or doesn't respond to us. It impacts how we perceive about our anger, resentment, and or hostility, whether we are easy to be manipulated, whether we avoid certain people, whether we have moments of doubt and or depression, or whether our thinking gets out of control because of what someone's thought about us could be. Maybe we're very sensitive, or we've turned off the ability to become very relational because we use that as a guard. So maybe in our mind there are some negative thoughts that individuals or even us have said about us or said to us that we have a tendency to rehearse in our mind or even give place to. Colossians 1:21-22 says, and although we were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled us in his fleshly body through death, in order to present us before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. How others view us impacts us, how God views us, or how we think God should view us. And so let's go over it. So if you scored with anybody for rejection, excuse me? So, yes. So if anybody scored 0 to 26, 0 to 26, it speaks to this. Experiences of rejection can actually dominate your memory and possibly result in a spirit of depression, resting, or having permission to visit you. These problems or this condition will remain present in us until we take some action. Remember, John 8 tells us, and we shall know the truth, and the truth shall set us free. So there's a process where we have to uproot the ingrained lies of the enemy and replace that with the truth. So Deuteronomy 26 says, look, rejection has had permission to dominate our memory and has had permission to invite in it a spirit of depression. It is a condition in which time alone cannot heal our pain. We will need to experience a deep healing and cleansing in our self-concept in order to appreciate and have a healthy relationship with God and with others. That's 0 to 26. Do we understand that? Wonderful. 27 to 36, if you scored 27 to 36, it would seem to indicate that the fear of rejection forms a general backdrop to our lives. There are probably few days that you are not affected and infected with some way by some way of fear. Unfortunately, this spirit of or fear of rejection robs you of your joy and peace of your that salvation was meant to bring you. So if we score between 27 and 36, our answers would indicate that about us and just about our thinking. If we score 37 to 46, it indicates when you experience emotional problems, they may that may relate to a sense of rejection. However, upon reflection, you will probably relate many of these previous decisions to this spirit of fear. Many of our future decisions will also be affected by the fear of rejection unless we take some, unless we apply the word of the Lord to overcome it. So for those, and that's kind of the halfway mark, 37 to 46, says, you know what, there are some emotions that I don't verbalize. There's a place of uncomfortability that I sometimes reside in because of my fear of rejection. Maybe I live guarded, or maybe it is easier for me to close other people up or not allow them to come. If we call it our inner circles, because we fear how they will receive and perceive us. Okay? For individuals that may have scored 47 to 56, if for those who scored 47 to 56, it says the fear of rejection controls your responses rarely or only in specific or certain situations. The only major exceptions are those who have been or are not honest with themselves. So again, we want to make sure that we're honest with ourselves and about our feelings and how we proceed. I always think it's interesting when we do this. I often have to bounce it off of overseers. So I could take the test and score myself, and then I allow her to score me, and the answers are never the same. They're not even in the same ballpark. So I always encourage people to have someone who you know, they walk in such humility with God, and that their love for God shines through them and would be an accurate light to make any assessments about you, and ask them to score you and see what those answers look like. All right, and then for those individuals who may have scored over 57, they scored between 57 and 70. It says God has apparently given you a very strong appreciation for his love and unconditional acceptance. You seem to be free from the fear of rejection that plagues most people. Some people who score high either are great or could be either deceived or have become callous towards their emotions as a way to suppress their pain. So, you know, again, it is a matter of truth in the inward parts. As you took the test, allowing Holy Spirit to tell you where you fell within it. As we take it, let this be a guide for us as we serve to assist other individuals in helping them understand whether or not they have an emotionally or relationally or spiritually healthy concept about themselves, but more importantly, about God, because that will definitely impact how they take it. So when you hear that those of you who are on the line all took the test, and so, you know, let's take 5 minutes to talk about what you hear when you hear those assessments.
Number one, did we get a copy of the test so that we can have others to test us? I don't recall receiving it or seeing it.
Say that again, please.
Did we get a copy of the test that we can have others to test us? I don't recall receiving it in an email or anything.
We sent it out a week ago, and then those, I think it was two individuals that said they didn't receive it, and we sent it to them that day. Did you not get to receive it?
No, I got it. That one I got. Okay. I was thinking it was something different. Sorry.
Oh. So did anybody have any thoughts about it? If anybody, however you scored, if you were to retake the test, can you see your answers changing differently if you allow the Holy Spirit to score you?
And looking at the score, I was kind of relieved to see that I had grown.
Oh, amen. Okay.
I just, some of the questions, you know, I could see where I had been and where I had come from, and I have a rare occasion. Let me see,
mm-hmm.
What did you say? A very seldom occasion that something would rise, but now I understand that it only rises because he wants to heal it. So my responses are not the same as they used to be.
Okay. That's a great observation. Anybody else?
This is Minister Brenda. I thought it was pretty much correct on how I basically see myself. It was something that I did have some concerns about, or if I had to ponder on it, the answers might have been different, but I was just given the answers off the top of my head, and I didn't really dwell on it, but it was sort of kind of correct.
She said sort of kind of. Well, thank you. Thank you for sharing. One more person. Or not. Okay. So, let me share this before we go on. Let me get my little chart out. The fear of what we want to remember in this process is that the fear of, rejection causes us to become an approval addict, okay? The fear of rejection causes us to become an approval addict. But however, God's answer to us needing the approval of others is to understand, and this is a word you want to write down, is to understand his reconciliation. Okay, so you want to write down reconciliation. Mm-hmm. you're going to look up the definition for reconciliation. And you're going to provide some scriptural support. I am going to give you a definition, but you cannot use this definition once you look up yours, nor can you use, well, and I've already given you the scripture, but nevertheless, that's another one that you cannot use. So reconciliation for the purpose that I'm going to use it right now means that at one point we were an enemy to God, but because of Christ, we have become friends. Okay?
Can you repeat that, Apostle?
Yes. And simply put, at one point we were enemy. Because of Christ, we're now friends. Reconciliation just means those who were enemies have become friends. Now, I don't want anybody to become comfortable with the definition I gave, because you are responsible for looking up the definition of reconciliation. And I'm actually going to give you more words, but this is the first one. So reconciliation, and these are just some notes that you can take, and I will repeat it. One of the things you're going to have to inquire is that, can God accept a person who is unacceptable because of sin? Or does God have to make that person completely acceptable through salvation first? So oftentimes, as we are sharing and ministering with people, we try to change them to make them worthy to receive God's instruction or his blueprint or his assistance. I want us to begin to look at the word. Let me take a look back who's on the line. Evangelist Anita, Minister Brenda, Evangelist Katie. Who else is on the line?
Pastor DeLoach.
Oh, great. Pastor DeLoach. And who else? I want to say everybody on the line except for Sister Loretta has gone through the ordination process with laborers. And reconciliation was one of your words.
I sure was.
So reconciliation, it becomes important. The Bible, look, I'm giving you guys too many answers. You have to begin to understand what reconciliation is so that you can receive an endowment of the Holy Spirit in grace and mercy as he begins to use you to minister to his people. So I'm not going to say anything else about reconciliation. Come with the answer next week. And you have to have at least three scriptural supports. And you cannot use Colossians 1, 21, and 22. Okay, let's move on. All right. Fear of punishment. Let's see how, where we are with that. Okay. Fear of punishment. Fear of punishment is affiliated with blame. Okay, and so I'm going to share with you again, you're going to see a pattern as we do the breakdown, and so just kind of pay attention to that because you're definitely going to see a pattern. So again, 0 to 26 indicates that we experience experiences of punishment dominate our thought and our memory and have probably resulted in a great deal of oppression and depression. These problems will remain until some definite plan is followed. In other words, the condition will not simply disappear. Time alone won't heal it, and we need to experience a deep cleansing and or healing in our self-concept and in our relationship with God and with others. So 0 to 26 says that the fear of punishment dominates our minds. So does anybody, you know, ever think, because I did this, God is now angry? Or this tragedy happened, and my behavior, my negative behavior, caused it and or influenced it. Because the blame game simply says that, you know, some of my punishment is self-induced. It's rooted out of my bitterness, or it causes me to be bitter. It causes me to want other people to be punished for the bad things or the negative things that they do to me or others. It causes me to become passive. My fear of punishment or the blame game is at the root of some of the most common problems that we see, which is passivity, which simply is the neglect of our mind, time, gifts, and talents through inaction. And this fear immobilizes us, and it causes us to become dull, complacent. We will miss opportunities to serve him. We see it as a risk, and so therefore we're not willing to take the risk. 27 to 36. The blame game or the fear of punishment, again, forms a general backdrop to my life. There are probably few days that go by that I am not impacted with this blame game or this fear of punishment. Do we begin to see the pattern? I'll go on. When I experience some emotional problems, they may be related to my fear of punishment or an inner urge to punish others. Upon reflection, you will probably relate many of your decisions or your previous decisions to this particular fear. Many of our future decisions will also be infected and impacted by the fear of punishment unless we make some decision to apply the truth of the Word of God, to take some necessary action. 47 to 56, the fear of punishment controls our response rarely and only, again, in certain situations. And so, again, the only major exceptions in this area and for all of them are if we're not being honest with ourselves. And then 57 to 70, God apparently has given us a strong appreciation, again, for his unconditional love and acceptance. And we seem to be free from the fear of punishment that plagues so many people. Oftentimes we score high in this area because, again, we have not been honest with ourselves. We've been deceitful to ourselves. Or we become callous to our emotions as a way to suppress our pain. And so quite a few people that we will have the opportunity to share with are in a place where they are or have suppressed their pain. there are areas in our life that we are afraid to obey God because we fear punishment. We fear retaliation. We fear what people will say, do, or think about us. And so when that's the case, we are allowing that fear to direct and or dictate our lives. So this is your word. This is the word I want you to write down. Are you ready?
Yes.
Propitiation. Propitiation. P-R-O-P-I-T-I-A-T-O-N. Propitiation. P-R-O-P-I-T-I-A-P-I-O-N. You are going to have a ball looking that up.
Could you spell that one more time?
Yes, P-R-O-P-I-T-I-A-T-I-O-N.
Thank you.
We're just looking for the definition?
You're looking for definition, and you need three scriptorial supports.
Okay.
Ideally, I don't want you to use the one I'm about to give you, but I'm trying to give you this just as you're going forward. A definition for a propitiation that you can't use is it means the wrath of someone who has been unjustly wronged has been satisfied. The wrath of someone who has been unjustly wronged has been satisfied. 1 John 4:9-11 says, by this the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And so again, as we begin to look at the people group or the scenarios or even the crisis and circumstances that we find ourselves in, is there a place in the process that the spirit of propitiation has found itself? How is that? And have we been a recipient of it? And so we need to begin to look at, are there individuals that our sin honestly deserve the righteous wrath of God? However, because of what Christ did, it won't be poured out on it. How many individuals do have hurt, wounded, impacted negatively other people, and yet we won't be satisfied until God harshly deals with them? And maybe that harshly dealing with them looks like us washing our hands of them. Say that again. Somebody share. Maybe it looks like us condemning them, guilty, or criticizing them, triple guilty. So we have it. Because I'm going to go on.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Thank you. The next one for our hearing. If we have the opportunity to do the fear of shame or the shame game. And so let's look at that. Again, we will look at our breakdown. if we score 0 to 26, shame, experiences of shame dominates our memory and has probably resulted, again, in the spirit of depression and oppression. We need to begin to apply the truth of the Lord. We need to take action. And this condition doesn't disappear with time. Time alone by itself won't heal us, but we need to apply the healing principles of the Word of God to this process. If we score 27 to 36, again, shame has basically formed a backdrop to our life. And there, again, are probably a few days that we're not infected and affected and impacted with it in some area. And again, there is a place because of that, it has robbed us of the joy and peace of our salvation was meant to bring us. And so there is a place that there's some truth that we need to apply to dismantle.
Thank you.
Dismantle the lie. It is all about the dismantling of the lie. So that's something we're going. That we're going to look at. And a good way to do that is to visit your put off and put on. I hope I can get to it. Okay, 37 to 46. For those who scored 37 to 46, is when we experience some kind of emotional or relational problem that this may be related to a sense of shame. It could be related to previous decisions of feelings of worthlessness. So we definitely need to address that. It can impact many of our future decisions. Will be affected by low self-esteem unless we take some type of action to overcome it. And we're going to look at some understanding where people are at as we look at the emotion wheel with feelings of worthlessness and the place of esteem. What role that has. One of the things that we encouraged you to look up was not just to put on, put off, but, you know, who I am in Christ. And our identity in Christ. And until people understand those things, we will forever live in bondage. Okay, 47 to 56, shame controls our response. Shame controls our response rarely. Shame controls our responses rarely or only in certain situations. Again, 47 to 56. Says that there are some things that we understand about what God has done in the regeneration process, and it does not necessarily dominate our response unless we have not been honest. 57 to 70 says we have apparently, God has given us a very strong appreciation for his love and his unconditional acceptance. And we seem to be free from shame, the shame that plagues so many people. So, again, that same grid is applicable across the board. We have one more. But when we look at shame, I want us to begin to identify the spirit of inferiority. When we are found doing some habitual destructive behaviors. So there's some things that we know isn't good for us. We know are not the healthiest choices. but we continue to do it. When we have our self-pity or our pity parties, and we invite those to be a part of it that we feel are in conflict, their view about us is in conflict with our view about us. Again, we sometimes become withdrawn or isolated. We lose our creativity. Our appearance begins to shift. Our codependent, it also definitely speaks to our codependent relationships. And this is just a brief overview. But as you create your curriculum for Christ, as you begin to look at how the Holy Spirit desires to use you to coach and encourage other individuals, I first want us to see how Holy Spirit has been our support, our coach, our life coach. How was that? Now, when we look at, I believe we just did shame, God's answer to shame is to, and this is another one of your words, so write it down, is regeneration. So you want to look it up and have your scriptorial support for regeneration and your definition.
All these words have to have three supports, right, Apostle?
Yes.
Three supports, which is the scriptures. Am I correct?
Yes. And so as we look at shame, God's answer to that is regeneration, which is the renewing work of the Holy Spirit that literally makes each of us a new person at the moment trust is placed in Christ as Savior. This is one of those areas that's really going to tug at some of our belief systems about our salvation. And I believe that part of what we will begin to look at, let me just share this scripture first. Titus 3, 3 through 7. Titus 3, 3 through 7. For we also once were foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, ensnared to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness of God, our Savior, and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we might be made heirs according to the hope of his eternal life. So you guys are going to have, remember, you need to provide a definition and three scriptorial supports for regeneration. And I actually have to go really quick now, but I am forgetting one. Fear, failure, blame, shame. Oh, yes. And 1 minute. Mm-hmm. Okay. I want to also share with you your punishment of yourself. But you're going to need to write it down. So let me get this for you differently. I believe you did that one. Okay. Did I give you all four? Maybe I didn't.
Yep.
Nope.
No,
you
we
didn't
have
do
three.
Fear of failure.
We have three.
No problem. No problem. Fear
I'll
of
take
failure. No, I gave you fear of failure. That should have been the first one I gave you. So I'm positive the answer to failure.
No, it was fear of rejection. No, I'm sorry. It was.
I didn't do fear of failure?
No.
Oh.
We had rejection.
Rejection. Okay, it's my fault. I wrote fear of rejection. Okay, we're good now. We're on fear of failure. All right, so if we score 0 to 26 for the fear of failure, it means that failure seems to dominate our memory and have resulted in a spirit of oppression and depression. And it's not going to help over time. Time is not going to heal it. Time by itself or time alone. We need to, again, apply God's truth. Again, you're going to see the same pattern here. Fear of failure says if you score 27 to 36, the fear of failure, again, forms a backdrop to our life. We've been infected and affected by this particular fear. And again, the key to this is, well, for me, okay, you'll develop your own keys, but that it robs us of our joy and peace. That salvation was designed to bring us. And so we live so beneath our spiritual privileges because we have, we believe the lie of the enemy. We bought into it. We have agreed with the enemy that we have to meet certain standards in order to feel good about ourselves. If not, then we fail. If we score 37 to 46, failure says 37 to 46. When you experience emotional problems, they may relate to a sense of failure or some form of criticism. Upon reflection, you will probably relate many of your previous decisions to this particular fear. Many of your future decisions will be affected by the fear of failure unless, again, we take direct actions to overcome it. Okay, and then 47 to 56, the fear of failure controls your response rarely or only in certain situations. So by the time we see 46 to 56, and 57 to 70, which means God has apparently given you a very strong appreciation for his love and unconditional acceptance, you seem to be free from a fear that has paralyzed and crippled many other individuals. The fear of failure is that perfectionism. If I don't do it right, I have to be perfect. Perfectionism. Become very, very performance driven. I have to be perfect in what it is whatever it is I'm working on. I tend to be a perfectionist in my work or in my in ministry and in whatever job or hobbies or activities I have in parenting or in my relationship with people. And so we have to be mindful of that. it really does cause us to not want to take any risk or avoid. It causes us not really to trust God, because unless we can perfect, do it perfectly, then we won't do it. We definitely become critical of others, and it is easy to become critical because we're not willing to do it because we could not handle the criticism of not doing it perfectly. It leads to a lot of inner anger and resentment, to depression. It has locked up in it quite a bit. It has that emotional trauma has an impact on our relationships and how we function relationally. It gives us a sense of hopelessness. It gets us, our identity becomes entangled and entwisted and immersed in our success and or failure in that case. Okay, so it won't be strange to find out that God's answer to our failure is his justification. So your fourth word is justification. Justification. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, he made him, Christ, who knew no sin, to become sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Whew, thank you, Jesus. Nevertheless, justification, as we are going to probably understand this, simply can be looked at Christ transferring God transferring our sins to Christ and his righteousness to us. I think that is probably a good example of the exchange that took place with justification. I know. Yes, somebody was going to say something. Oh, maybe not. I have 4 minutes, and I want to find this statement. Overseer probably knows it by heart, but you know what? God bless her. She sticky noted it for me. All right, I want to do these two things. I'm just going to ask you guys to just listen to it, but I definitely want to give it to you. The performance trap, okay, with the false belief to that is I must meet certain standards to feel good about myself, okay? I must meet certain standards to feel good about myself. So that's the whole thing of the fear of failure. God's truth is, because of justification, I am completely forgiven by and fully pleasing to God. I no longer have to fear failure. So, do we have that? I pray so. The whole thing with the approval addict is I must have the approval of certain others to feel good about myself. So that's as we look at rejection, that's what it means. The lie of the enemy says I need to have certain approval. I need to have certain people's approval to feel good about myself. However, God's truth is, because of reconciliation, I am totally accepted by God, and I no longer have to fear rejection. I'm going to just go through them and pray and close this out. The blame game, which is the fear of punishment, says those who fail, including myself, are unworthy of love and deserve to be punished because we're guilty. However, that is the lie of the enemy, but God's truth says, because of propitiation, I am deeply loved by God. I no longer have to fear punishment or punish others. The lie of the enemy of shame says, I am what I am. I cannot change. I am hopeless. Truth says, God's truth says, because of regeneration, I have been made brand new, complete in Christ. I no longer need to experience the pain of shame. I know that that's a lot. But in closing,
Evangelist
Katie is going to have this, and she's going to text it to you guys.
I have a question, Apostle.
A question?
Oh, oui, yes. I'm listening.
Oh, out of the four, was the first? I have the other three, but not the first one. Words
I have
the, to look up.
Hold on. The good thing is that overseeing market. The first one. I must performance trap, which is the fear of failure. I must meet certain standards to feel good about myself, which is the false belief or the lie of the enemy. God's truth is, because of justification, I am completely forgiven by and fully pleasing to God. I no longer have to fear failure.
Okay, thanks.
You ready? Apostle, you had said when you did reconciliation, maybe I don't know if you want us to write it down, you had said something about, do God have to make that person completely acceptable? But you said something just before that, Ken, and I didn't get it, so I didn't know if that was a question we had to do.
That's just something you need to think about, because as we're sharing with people or as we're waiting for people to change, we want them to get perfect so that God can bless them, so he can heal them, so he can deliver them. We're looking to see some physical changes, some adjustments, and we have to begin to look. That's why your homework was identify when you got saved and then identify when he became Lord. So far, I only have that from one person. And so I need us to begin to look at that, because it did not happen at the same time. And for some of us, lordship has been ongoing, because there are still areas, which is why the question, the whole other homework assignment was, why do you hate God? And so how do we know we hate God? Because we're not doing what he's saying. He said that if we loved him, we would obey him. Mm-hmm. So there is something that we're looking to be perfected in people we're sharing with that has not been in our own lives. And so as we share, as we assist, as we do life with people, as we walk with them, as we use the word to empower them, I want us to do it rooted in truth. So, but before I go, I want to read this for you. Are we ready? Prayerfully. Uh-huh. My identity in Christ. Because of Christ's redemption, I am a new creature of great worth. I am deeply loved, completely forgiven, fully pleasing, totally accepted by God, and absolutely complete in Christ. There has never been another person like me in the history of humankind, nor will there ever be. God has made me an original, one of a kind, really, absolutely somebody in him. That's it. So my prayer, my soul decree for you all, is that that will become so embedded in us that we will begin to declare it for the people around us so that they too may live free. Because whom the Son sets free is free indeed.
That's all I have. Thank you for allowing me to speak, talk, and go through all of this in an hour. I pray everybody
will
be able to get any questions.
Yes, this is Minister Brenda. Will we be able to get a copy of what you just read?
Well, only if I could take a picture of it and send it. Hold that thought.
Okay.
Let me see. Overseer marked it for me, so surely I could take a picture. Oh, it works, maybe.
Apostle, you wanted me to send the last four things you said or the homework question? I didn't hear you. I'm sorry.
No, I didn't hear you.
You said that I would send something. I didn't catch what it was. Was it the homework questions or the last four things you said?
Oh, it was the last four things I said. But I believe that probably Overseer has it in to send it. If not, I think that you probably were able to get everything I said, right?
In some form. I didn't know I was giving it to anybody.
I know it's all good. All right, I think we have it. She's going to show me how to get it to you all. So it's no problem. It'll probably come through text. It'll be in the stream of text. You will get it. Does anybody have any questions?
We just have the four words that you gave us to look up, correct? And we have to have three scriptures to go with the four words. Am I correct?
That's part of it.
I want you to become homework focused, okay? I want you all to enjoy the process. So that was just the work that I gave for today in conjunction with I get your put off and put on. Hear Holy Spirit about that. I didn't get to share it with you all, but I will. And somebody took it, and what they did with it is just phenomenal. Holy Spirit gave them what to add to it for their curriculum with Christ. And so we will definitely share that. But what I want you all to begin to hear is, you know what, I see myself sharing with this group of people. And, you know, if I had to break it down into these four categories, people that I'm called to share with deal with fear of punishment. And so as a result, the truths that they need to know are in these categories. The truth that they need so that they can live emotionally healthy lives as a leader, as a man, as a woman, as a child, as a teen, whatever category they fall in, and begins to look like this. How do I empower people not to believe the lie? First, how do I get them to understand that's a lie? That there is no scriptural truth in that statement. It just sounds good. So while, yes, you have to look up reconciliation, propitiation, regeneration, and justification, and find three scriptures for it, that without a doubt is the assignment. It in tandem with the other things that you all are doing to develop your curriculum for Christ. So that should answer the questions asked and text. Anybody else?
Apostle, this is on Blog Talk, so I can listen to it again, right?
Who am I speaking to?
Arnett.
Sure.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, thank you all. Enjoy the evening. And enjoy the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Oh, okay. Good night.
Good night.